And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And I'm talking about we cover down our signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. So first part of the triple dipper here, going to spend a little bit on this, military-minded. Coming up top of the hour, we'll have a call from Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute and jump over into some home fries. But for right now, let me get a little military-minded on you. So things you got to know about our wonderful military. And let me just go ahead and point out once again that including my own time in service, my grandfather's time in service, my father's time in service, and even my great-grandfather's time in service, and other family members of mine who are on active duty right now, I love the military. Part of my concern in pointing out some of the things I have to point out on this show is that I love it so much that I'm tired of seeing it getting trounced on and turned around into places that it shouldn't be. So that being said, one of the things that's really bugging me right now is what's happening with Space Command, which is a part of our military, obviously. Story that broke just a little while ago on AL.com. You may recall that our own congressman, Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers, is the chairman of the Alabama House Armed Services Committee. Not Alabama, the U.S. House Armed Services Committee. An Alabama congressman right now, headline is, Alabama congressman asks officials making the SpaceCom headquarters decision to preserve their documents. What he's basically saying is, there will be a congressional inquiry. If you're going to move this, if you do not follow through on all of the recommendations that show that the state of Alabama met or exceeded everything required to have Space Command located here. I mean, Colorado's been beefing like they somehow won and they're getting it pulled out. Colorado was fourth on the list. Well, AL.com says Congressman Rogers is saying you better keep your documents. He's responding, it says in the article, to reports this week that the Biden administration has problems with moving the base to Redstone Arsenal. Some say that it is related to Alabama's, quote, restrictive abortion laws. So let me get this straight. Supreme Court of the United States rules that with regards to abortion, states can make their own laws, and that they should. It's a matter devolved, they say, unto the states. So federal law authorizes states to make a law. Alabama then makes a law. That law is then voted on by the people of Alabama because we embedded it in our state constitution, which made it a referendum, and it came out on the ballot that overwhelmingly Alabama wants to be a pro-life state. Okay. So in other words, we're doing what we're allowed to do, following the procedures we're allowed to follow, and establishing the laws we want to have be the law of our land. But the Biden administration is like, well, if you're not going to kill babies, we're going to pull that base. Well, Rogers says the Air Force's deleterious actions concerning the selection of a location for SpaceCom headquarters require the committee to now seek document preservation in this matter. So stand by, folks. There's about to be a fight. And I'm glad of it. What else we got on the slate here? Another, by the way, interesting thing that came out, National Review has a piece that came out just a couple weeks ago. I had not seen this until I was prepping for the show today. National Review purports that Javelin missile production is getting a $7 billion contract boost. $7 billion contract boost. So basically what's happening is, according to the story on National Review, with the Ukrainian military, it says, rapidly burning through U.S.-provided javelins, American stockpiles have dwindled. In the first 10 months of that war, the U.S. has depleted 5 years' worth of javelin production. Raytheon is the main company that makes the javelin, right? Raytheon makes them largely, not solely, but largely, I believe, in Troy, Alabama. In fact, I don't know if you remember this or not, back when the Ukraine war started off, I happened to see and brought it out on the show that you could see pictures of shipments of Javelin missiles, which, by the way, have been making a huge impact in the Ukrainian war. Huge. Like, huge. That you could see them, and they were clearly labeled Troy, Alabama, and they were sitting in a Ukrainian stockpile. All right, so the new Army contract, which would run from 2023 to 2026, is going to include funding to fulfill a contract which is currently authorized at least $1 billion, could reach $7.2 billion. So if you're making Javelin missiles, it's a good day. And they're going to be stockpiling. Additionally, it says, during a panel forum, Army Secretary Christine Wormuth said that the U.S. had already awarded $6 billion in new contracts to backfill depleted U.S. stocks on other weapon systems. So, dang. All I'm saying is, Troy, Alabama, if you're looking for a job, you might want to head down to Troy. I'm pretty sure they're going to be hiring at the plant where they make those Javelin missiles. That's just cool. What are you thinking about? I thought you were about to say something.
I'm just like, wow. That's crazy. That's what I was going over here.
$7 billion.
$7 billion.
I'm pretty sure they need to advertise on Right Side Radio.
I think they should. Absolutely. Maybe go give us a tour. I'd like to see that too.
You know what? You may have just sparked something.
Ooh.
Okay.
Remote
broadcast. Other things that are happening. So, military minded. Let me do this one first. I'll jump over here. Speaking of arming up, how about this one? Military.com came out a couple of days ago. Abrams tanks arrive in Germany, setting the stage for Ukrainian training. So there was a thing that came out a few months ago that we would be sending Abrams tanks. The M1 Abrams is the world class. I mean, so the Abrams, the British, and the Israeli tanks are considered to be, I think, the three greatest in the world. Some of you armor officers out there may chime in real quickly and tell me which one I missed. But between the Israelis, the Brits, and us, the main battle tanks are pretty epic. And the Abrams, in my opinion, leads the pack. And right now we're on like M1A3 SEP version 4 or something like that. All that to say, sending Abrams tanks to the battlefield in Ukraine has the potential to be a game changer, like a lot. Like the standoff capability of an Abrams by comparison to some of what the Soviets are now having to bring out of mothballs like the old T-72s and put them back on the battlefield. You're talking about that's like, first of all, if you're a military historian and you've never read of the battle, I think it's the Battle of 73 Easting, I think that's what it's called. Look that up for me, Boomer. 73 Easting. It was a movement to contact in the initial part of the first Gulf War, and became General H.R. McMaster was then, I believe, a captain, and he had they were racing, you know, through the desert, and they had just a complete what they call a meeting engagement. They just ran into an Iraqi armored regiment and destroyed them, like within seconds. I want to say something like in 47 seconds, they had taken out most of a battalion of Iraqi T-72s. So now we're looking at, military.com says, Ukrainian troops are set to begin training on the U.S. M1 Abrams tank after 31 of the training vehicles for the M1s have arrived in Germany. The training will begin within the next couple of weeks, so that's going to be in May or June. Said Brigadier General Pat Ryder. He says, I can confirm the 31 M1 Abrams training tanks have arrived at Grafenwehr, Germany, in preparation for subsequent training of Ukrainian fighters or Ukrainian tankers. And he went on to say, these 31 are for training only. These aren't the ones that would enter the battlefield later. That's going to be something. Did you find that battle? 73 Easting? Was that what it was? Yeah. It was Easting, wasn't it?
73 Easting.
Yeah.
Battle of 73 Easting.
Yeah, that was in what, 1991? Oh, it was 2001.
1991.
That's right. Yes. It was Desert Storm. What am I saying? All right. Continuing on for a moment. Military-minded, things that veterans and green suiters want to know. Did you know that your National Guard is deploying? Now, I'm not seeing a lot from Alabama yet, but I do believe that we are committed because Governor Ivey signed us up for the governor's interagency task force on immigration reform. And so I suspect if they're not already there, I know they've been there in the past, you're going to see some guardsmen of some capability heading to Texas. You know what I find interesting? You're not hearing anybody from Arizona or California saying, could y'all send us some of your National Guard? Reckon why that would be. Maybe it's because they have Democrat governors. All right, but Texas, they ain't playing. Texas has sent out a call for help. Townhall.com, Dateline yesterday. Multiple states have answered Texas' call for help to send military and law enforcement personnel to the southern border. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves said his state's sending guardsmen because the Biden administration's unwillingness to put public safety over politics. Every state has now become a border state. And so he's sending an entire military police battalion. And they're headed out there, the 112th MP Battalion. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he's also sending both military and civilian law enforcement personnel. He's sending 101 Florida state troopers, 200 for Florida Department of Law Enforcement officers, 20 Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation officers, 800 Florida National Guard soldiers, 800, along with command vehicles, fixed-wing aircraft, drone capability, and boats. So, yeah, Governor DeSantis says, at my direction, state agencies, including law enforcement and the Florida National Guard, being deployed to Texas with assets including personnel, boats, and planes. And while Biden ignores the crisis he created, Florida stands ready to help Texas respond to their crisis. Nice. Nice. Yeah. Like that. By the way, it's a thing, man. I'll tell you what, any of y'all that have spent time in the Garden Reserve, you know, by the way, it used to just chat me. Some of the old guys who've been around the Garden Reserve, they talk about summer camp. Summer camp is what kids in high school go to with their church, all right? No, there's no summer. The modern Garden Reserve is an actual active, you know, participant in everything to do with our national defense. But being in guard capacity, the governor can order things. They're Title 32 under the law. And then reservists in active duty are Title 10, I believe it is. That being said, everything that an active duty soldier is trained on, you have to also match that training in your guardsmen and your reservists. And then at the same time, they all have to have other jobs in life, but then they have to leave those jobs to go when duty calls. It's an amazing thing, y'all. It's an amazing thing to watch 800 guardsmen muster up, get in formation, all wearing their combat badges and scary badges and, you know, able to do all the things active duty can do, but they have to go somewhere to do it and leave behind everything that's normal for them to do it. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from that break, and we will move forward on the show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. There's my new... I understand that other radio shows might have said something similar, but they didn't say it like that. So, yeah. I didn't quite plagiarize it. Now, hey, going to the text lines real quick. Raven from Russellville, my special operations brethren. He says, I've done both active duty and National Guard, and I'll say this, in Alabama, if you're in the right unit, it's just as high speed as regular Army. Been there, done it, got the scars to show for it, and I know exactly what he's talking about. So, I mean, just for those of y'all that don't know, right here, there's only how many totals? Five? Special Forces groups. Let me think through. 1st, 3rd, 5th, 7th, 10th. No, there's seven. There's seven Special Forces groups, two of which are in the National Guard. One of those two is headquartered right here in Alabama with an entire line battalion of Green Berets. So, yeah, you got that in your Alabama National Guard. You've got an EOD group in your National Guard right here in Alabama. You've got a F-16 fighter wing right here in Alabama. You've got a, down in Mobile, you've got a Marine Corps Force Recon Reserve unit. Those guys are high speed. And then right across the border in Georgia, you've got a LERS unit, which used to be called LERPS in Vietnam, but it's long-range surveillance, and I know because I used to be in that unit too. So anyway, all said and done, Raven, you are correct, brother. We got some high-speed, low-drag, beer-cooled, highly skilled operators working in our guard. Brand new in the text line, Chris G. from Huntsville. He says, U.S. Space Command not coming to Redstone has nothing to do with babies, everything to do with Operation Paperclip. I get it, man. Chris G., Huntsville, thank you for being in the audience. Jeff from Hazel Green. He says, would it be legal for Governor Abbott to start a GoFundMe page to complete a border wall? I'd send money monthly. You know what? I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But you know what's happened, though? If you remember, Governor Abbott was already building a wall. Remember that, Boomer, just not long ago, building a wall out
shipping containers.
Yes. perfect. And the federal government sued him to take it down, which just boggles the mind. Anita South Huntsville says, honestly, part of me wants to say that Colorado can have Space Command. I live 10 miles from the Redstone Arsenal. Frankly, I'd rather not be bumped up next to nuclear missile target number 4 in the continental United States. Oh, well, I mean, heck, we're already there. So, you know, don't worry about it. All right, hey, listen, let me go to this next article. We're in Military Minded. Coming up, by the way, after the break, we'll be talking to Stephanie Smith. I've got several things here, like, you know, the use of artificial intelligence to help the military with its recruiting. I got thoughts on that. About Elon Musk saying that he believes that absolutely there's no need to read between the lines on China. They are serious. He said read the lines, not read between the lines, about what they also say in another article I've got. China says they will smash Taiwan if they have to keep them from, you know, fully separating. But the story that I want to get to first, the one that really got me just in terms of my gut, I mean, those other stories, they're big deals. This one, Washington Examiner, and it's an opinion piece, but I agree. Headline, emasculation of the U.S. military is the price it has paid for going woke. The emasculation of the U.S. military. This guy says he's a proud veteran, Navy guy. He says, I no longer recognize our military. Politicians and politically motivated senior officers have embraced wokeness, placing equity above the mission, individual achievement and happiness above unit cohesion, and forcing beliefs on the ranks, rank and file, instead of embracing all beliefs. Simply put, the U.S. military has been emasculated and is not mission ready. It's an opinion of a veteran. I still believe there's some great folks in the ranks, but I am concerned when I see the lowering of standards, because you cannot help but dumb things down when you start doing this. Like he points out, so if anybody who's ever been in the Army knows what it means to have the APFT, the Army Physical Fitness Test, and for years it was 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups, and a two-mile run. And depending upon your age, you had certain standards you had to meet, but I was never in a meet-the-standards unit. I was always with a group of guys who were determined to one-up each other and to push that PT test, and you started off with not asking, what do I have to do to pass? You started off saying, what's the max? And so if 72 push-ups was your max, you're going for 75. If 74 sit-ups was your max, well, you're going for 80 sit-ups. If the max on the run, which there was a time when I could max the run, after a while it got to where I got to get as fast as I can, but nonetheless, my goal was to max. And 300 points is what you can get. Right now, he says in this article, the Army recently lowered its minimum passing standard for push-ups to an unimpressive total of 10. 10.
10.
10.
Like, that's it.
Like one less than 11, one more than 9. 10. 10.
That's...
You and I the other day ate donuts and did 50 each.
Wow. 10.
10. They also increased the minimum two-mile run time from 19 minutes, which was already slow, to 23 minutes. Dude.
23 minutes?
You can walk 2 miles.
I was about to say, you could walk that.
You can walk 2 miles backwards in 23 minutes. It says the Space Force is considering doing away with periodic fitness tests altogether. And he points out, he says, the volleyball and football scenes from the Top Gun movies wouldn't have been that great with the kind of people who only do 10 push-ups and run 23 minutes. Not something anybody would want to see. And he goes on to talk about other things, like courses being taught at about equity and politics and gender at West Point, or the fact that they're pushing for things like an electric vehicle fleet for the military. I'm just saying, it concerns me. There's a lot more to the military than just what I said, but I'll say this. The military, more than anything, is not its equipment. It's not its traditions. It's its people. And if you're telling people all you got to do is make 10 push-ups, wow. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back in a minute. Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute, we'll be right back.